This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the preview show brought to you by the No Nay Never podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bromley, and this week we are looking ahead to a crucial game at Turf Moor against Newcastle United. Will Eddie Howe do his former club any favours and basically let us win in order that we can stay firmly on the coattails of Notts Forest and try and pull off the greatest of the great escapes? I'm joined this week in the studio with Dave by Dave Statman Roberts, who is going to be giving us all the stats, facts and information you need ahead of that game. And our opposition view comes from Sam Darling from True Faith Podcast, who gives us an insight into our visitors. So here we go, listeners. Let's go. Dave, evening, sir. How are we?
Good evening. Yes, ready for a big match on Saturday afternoon.
Is it a must win, Dave? Is it a must win?
I think they've all been
actually. No, actually, to be fair, it isn't. Do you know what? I think I'm in Dave because it's if Sheffield United beat Forest, it's not a must win game. Because we'll still be 2 points behind them.
If Luton win all their three, then they're safe, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. Damn it. So, effectively, we're in a really weird scenario, aren't we, where it's in all three teams' own hands. Yeah.
Well, it's not. If Luton win all three, it's in their hands and everything else is irrelevant.
Oh. If we win all three of our games, do we not stay up? So it's in our own hands as well.
No, because three go down, don't they?
Oh, yeah. So, oh, God. Oh, do you know what? I've been doing stuff all day, getting really excited. I do genuinely keep forgetting about Luton, which is problematic because I keep thinking that it's just one from two of us, and it isn't. Two of us need to go down. So I do genuinely keep forgetting. Well, it's all right, because Liverpool are going to get beaten by Dash on Friday night. They're first, aren't they? So
yeah, Luton are home to Everton, aren't they, on Friday? Yeah.
And Forest are away at Sheffield United, who I would quite like to be a bit better at home than they are this weekend, than they have been this year, because that would be good. And obviously we're at home to Newcastle. So all good. Well, let's kick on then, Dave. Why not? We've got lots to cover. We may as well not keep our listeners waiting. We are, of course, covering Newcastle at home. It is Saturday the 4th of May. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff, not televised anywhere in the UK. But anybody who's anybody will be at Turf Moor cheering the boys on anyway. Dave, kick us off, please, with match results summary.
Although Burnley have collected 29 wins from previous league matches between these two teams at Turf Moor, Newcastle United have 17 wins on their travels. Only 7 of the previous 53 league matches between the two teams at Turf Moor have been drawn. In terms of goals scored, Burnley lead the way with 83, but have conceded 67 to our visitors. The Magpies have done their fair share of yo-yoing from the Premier League to the Championship, swapping places with us on a couple of occasions, but bouncing back at the first attempt as champions in 2009-10 and 2016-2017, which means we didn't face them in those two campaigns. However, for their previous six Premier League visits to Turf Moor, there's been just one draw. That was in 2014-15. Two Burnley victories, but our visitors have managed three wins. Following a takeover in October 2021, a huge injection of Saudi cash, which funded the deal to take striker Chris Wood from Turf Moor to St James's Park for £25 million in January 2022, helped them to ascend the table and avoid any relegation troubles. And since then, Newcastle United have been in around the top six, finishing fourth last season and qualifying for the Champions League group stages. They currently sit in seventh place with former Burnley manager Eddie Howe, as we said, still in charge, although you would suspect that his position may be in jeopardy, with the new owners most likely expecting top four finishes for their investment.
That's quite interesting you said that, actually, because I've spoken to quite a few Newcastle fan sites this week, just doing opposition views for them. And the feel coming from Newcastle fans is that Eddie Howe has got a very safe job, will absolutely be with them next season, irrespective of the lack of Champions League next season, and that he's got a very good relationship with his board. So I will be interested to see how that one goes, because I'm with you a little bit on that one, Dave. I always imagined that the new owners wanted a bigger name European manager to go with their club, but you can't argue with what he's done there. We'll come on to that later on in the show, because our opposition will let us know a little bit more about that. So let's move back to what we can control, which is, of course, Burnley. And this is the second of our features this evening, and it's the yin and yang of the preview show. It's our match retrospective section, which takes a look back at two matches with very different outcomes, as ever, with our one to remember and one to forget feature. We're going to start off with one to forget, please, Dave.
We usually have to go a bit further back in time for our one to forget, but we're going to keep it relatively modern and revisit the last match of the 2021-22 season. Newcastle United were the visitors to Turf Moor on the 22nd of May. A hat-trick of wins under caretaker manager Michael Jackson had given Claret's fans some renewed hope of avoiding the drop. And despite the new manager bounce wearing off, meaning we'd only picked up 1 point from three previous matches in May, matters were actually in our own hands for the final match of the season. All we needed to do, was to match or better Leeds United's result, as we were above them on goal difference. Things started to go wrong at Turf Moor in the 20th minute, when Nathan Collins gave away a needless penalty after inexplicably handling the ball following a corner, and Callum Wilson put away the resulting spot kick. The visitors doubled their lead on the hour, and it was that man Callum Wilson again, but within 10 minutes, Burnley had a lifeline when Maxwell Cornet pulled a goal back. However, we were unable to find an equaliser, and even if we had, a late winner for Leeds United at Brentford would have spoiled things anyway. This was the final match in caretaker charge for Michael Jackson, who, despite not quite having exactly what we needed to stay up, was retained on the staff by incoming manager Vincent Kompany. As we know, an immediate return to the Premier League came next with a memorable 101-point title-winning campaign in the Championship.
Definitely. Okay, let's go back the other way then. And what about our one to remember?
This time our one to remember is a rare highlight from the 1979-80 season, which, spoilers, did not end well for Burnley. However, the Turf Moor crowd was treated to a win against Newcastle United on Boxing Day. By this stage, Brian Miller was in charge, having taken over from Harry Potts in October, following a dreadful start to the campaign for the Clarets. Back to the match, and Billy Hamilton gave us the lead after 35 minutes with a header for his first goal for the club. But the visitors made it 1-1 5 minutes later through David Barton, and it remained level at the break. 2 minutes into the second half, Malcolm Smith put us into the lead, and we extended that lead with a penalty from captain Martin Dobson after 74 minutes. Although Alan Shoulder pulled a goal back just before the end, we held on for a 3-2 win to send the Clarets fans home with just a fourth win of the season. The match report headline in the next edition of the Burnley Express was "Happy Holiday, Muddy Marvel's Festive Cheer." And reporter Peter Higgs thought that the team may have turned a corner in the quest for survival. But sadly, there were far too few moments like this for the remainder of the campaign, and Burnley eventually suffered the drop to the third tier for the first time in the club's history, along with Fulham and Charlton Athletic. Despite being favourites for promotion, Newcastle United could only finish ninth that season.
Good stuff. Well, sorry, I'm trying to do too many things at once here, listeners. Good summaries there, Dave. Now, we're now going to bring it up to modern day because there's a match that may be a match to remember or maybe a match to forget this coming Sunday as the Clarets take one step closer to the Great Escape. We are joined for the second time this season by Sam Darling from the True Faith podcast, who talked to me in a little bit of a preview. Let's know what he was thinking. Well, how has their season been? How have they enjoyed Champions League football? And what do they think they're going to meet this weekend at Turf Moor? So we are joined this week for our opposition view with Sam from the Truth Faith podcast. Sam, we've got beef with you. You've relegated us before. You've got a manager who doesn't seem to like us and want to do us any favours. And it's been a bit of a strange season for you. My claim with this is that you are on the beach and you don't need the points for Sunday, so you should let us win. But before we get into that, why don't you give our listeners a little bit of a taste of what it's been like this season for you? It's been up and down, disappointing. Where are you sitting with this?
Where am I sitting? I remarkable. Hi, by the way. Lovely to thank you for having me on. It's always a delight. I always forget the Eddie Howe factor as well, because he basically made his way to Burnley and then decided he couldn't live north. Live northwest.
East Lancashire wasn't for him, and it was like, fine. And we, as true football fans, have held a grudge about that ever since. But, you know, that's what we do.
And I respect you for it. The season has been, if we finish sixth or seventh at the end of this season, I think it is a very, very good one. It's felt long. There have been highs. It's nuts to think that beating PSG 4-1 at home was still this season. It feels like ages and ages ago, because we basically ran out of players. And
your injuries, my goodness.
Yeah, we've had a lot. And so I'm not going to moan about them, because there is something in the fact that the style of play we have, this high pressing, high intensity, meant that perhaps some of the injuries would have been avoidable. But then again, you know, Tonali's had his ban, so he'll be back next season. Then there's just been some freak ones, you know, like Harvey Barnes just stood on the ground and broke his foot and was out for 4 or 5 months. It's that typical game of, right, name and here's the 11 that could be playing but are out. Oh, it's probably better than the side that are actually playing. But there's been some wonderful moments. Beating Manchester United, I don't know what it is about beating Manchester United at Old Trafford, which we did in the Carabao Cup with a kids team, with Paul Dummett and Emil Kraft, who'd not started a game for about 2 years at centre-back, and we absolutely hammered them. So there have been some wonderful moments. There's been some naff moments as well. I had 4 or 5 days where we went to Everton and lost 3-0 on the Thursday night. We went to Spurs and lost 4-1. And then we lost to Milan and were completely dumped out of Europe. But that was off the back of a week where in 7 days we'd beaten Chelsea 4-1, we'd drawn away at PSG, and we had beaten Manchester United at home. So that sums up our season. Highs, lows, and we could still finish in Europe, which would be amazing.
So how has the Champions League experience been for you? I mean, I know there's a disappointment that you didn't get further than you wanted to, but it was your first step into Champions League. Did you find it challenging, exciting? Was it everything that you hoped it would be?
Oh, and more. As a fan, we got this amazing... You won a good group. I know everyone said, look how hard it is. And I tell you what, PSG and Dortmund were in our group and they're both in the semi-finals. So it wasn't an easy group, but the trips, I was lucky enough to go on all of them. I've got a very understanding fiance who's a massive Watford fan. And we were meant to be going to Scotland on holiday and the fixtures came out and we got Milan away first game. And I said, please, do you mind? She said, all right.
Please. Oh, you see.
She went, all right. But I get to pick the hotel. And I thought, yeah, okay, I can live with that. It was Fashion Week, so it was not a cheap hotel. It was fascinating, the dynamic at breakfast between Newcastle fans and people there for Fashion Week. Like, lots of people in black and white, but very, very different.
Very different experiences. This is hilarious.
Yeah, not many of Fashion Week people were wearing Castore kit that rips if you slightly catch it in the door. But I did that. We went to Dortmund and had the square and just had a great time. And then we went to PSG and nearly beat them in one of those. You nick a goal and then you hold on and you hold on and you hold on and you keep holding on. And it gets to the stage where you think you've held on and then you get a penalty that wouldn't be given in this country to VAR. But yeah, as an experience, it was disappointing to go out, particularly as we went for it. Your Burnley fans probably shouldn't know this, but we were drawing with Milan. If we'd have kept that draw, we'd have gone through in the Europa League, but we went for Champions League progression and lost a game and then went out altogether. Whatever, it happens. It was wonderful. Like, it's taken its toll, but I would not swap it for some of the best away days of my life. So it's been joyous. Sorry to talk about it. You did ask.
No, I did. This is what our listeners want to hear. We will never be in the Champions League, so we have to live vicariously through you.
Never say never. When I watched Newcastle lose at Wolves under Steve Bruce about 4 years ago, we were awful, and people like Jeff Hendrick and Isaac Hayden. Actually, I don't mind Hayden. We're still in our midfield.
Don't you be dissing our Jeff Hendrick?
I forgot about that link.
Have you forgotten all of your Burnley links? Yeah. Jeff Hendrick was a perfectly good utility man when we sent him to you, and you broke him. So please don't. And now I don't even know where he's played anymore. Jeff Hendrick was a savior for us. I think he played in every position apart from the goalkeeper. He was did everything that was asked of him. It was great. Obviously, the other Burnley connection, which you've already talked about, is that relationship with your manager. Now, Eddie Howe isn't necessarily remembered that fondly at Burnley for very good reasons. He wasn't with us for very long. He wasn't very successful when he was there. And he left us in rather unfavourable terms. So, that said, he is still an ex-Claret. He is an ex-manager of ours. It's been an interesting ride for him because I think most people kind of expected that he wasn't going to be the first choice glamour manager that your new owners would have wanted when they first went in there. But they kept him and he got you Champions League football. And he is a big favourite amongst Newcastle fans, of what I understand.
Yeah, he is. He's not, I don't think he's that. Oops, I've just knocked my fiance's laptop off the shelf. Oh, sorry for the noise. Okay. Yeah.
That's going to cost you another Milan hotel, by the way.
I know. We've just come back from Como on another football trip, so she'll be all right.
Break
laptops willingly. I don't think he's that well liked more widely. So he and Jason Tindall, I can see it. They have those faces that maybe you might want to punch.
Oh, Jason Tindall. I think I detest him more than I detest Eddie Howe.
When you hear him talk, he's not what you would imagine Jason Tindall would be like at all. He's almost quite shy.
Yeah, and he's also very pragmatic, isn't he? He's very fact-based, Tindall. When he has to take over those, and the few that he had to do for us, when he had to take over those interviews, he just says what it is. It's quite good.
Yeah, he does. He loves a photo. The thing is, the memes are all that he's basically at the front of every photo, the first one to shake the opposition's manager's hands. And they call him Mad Dog. Actually, it was the nickname was invented by, or the claim is, a couple of the True Faith contributors, and it just sort of caught on via social media.
Really?
Yeah, it was Charlotte and Alex that came up with it. But look, I still love them both. They've done an amazing job. If you look at the squad, of course we've spent money, but particularly in recent weeks, we've been like substitution. We've had no subs, and that's where we've lost games, is because we haven't been able to make changes. We're bringing on Dummett and Richie and Kraft. So there's still players in that squad that are effectively dead wood. Howe has done a wonderful job. Yet last season was probably, whatever happens, last season probably the best season we'll have because it was new and it was the first one. And nothing had changed. It was still that same group of lads. So you fall in love with them. And then this year, there have been people that have questioned him and you have a few bad results and you think, I don't know. But you have to remember that, like you said it on our podcast about company, and the same applies to Howe. You're appointing a guy, it's his first experience in the Champions League as well. So you've got to, he's learning how to manage with European football midweek too. And you've got to give those people time, and he's earned the time. And luckily the owners will give him the time. He's very well liked by Staveley and Mayor Dad and people like that. So he will be around for a while, I hope.
Good. Excellent. Wrap it up then. Turning to Saturday's game. It's a massive game for Burnley at Turf Moor. We have to at least match Forest's results or better it to have any chance to still be within distance in the last game of the season. Two questions then, just to round us off. What are you expecting from the game on Saturday, and what's your score prediction going to be?
I never really know away from home. We can be dreadful. We were dreadful at Palace. It's the first time ever my work has kept me away. I had a ticket. I was down in London. Couldn't get away from the office. I was gutted. I was gutted an hour and a half later. I was absolutely delighted. we're brilliant. We'll press. We're brilliant. We've got pace on the break. Isak, Gordon, Barnes, Murphy. Isak is a world-class striker. He is the closest thing I've seen to Henri. I'm not saying he's at that level, but he is just wonderful. So I'm expecting us to win by 3-1, but that might not happen. Obviously, it's a prediction.
Yes, it is. It's a good prediction. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining us on the preview show by the Known and Ever podcast. It's always a delight. I would love to be speaking to you next season. I fear that we might be doing championship podcasts next year, but hopefully in 2 years' time, we will be back to join you. So always a crowd favourite. Thank you for joining us again and best of luck for the rest of the season. Good stuff. Okay, Dave. Referee information, please.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, Anthony Taylor of Withenshaw was appointed to take charge of Sheffield United, only for a late change, which meant that he was switched to the Everton Forest match on the Sunday instead. Quite an eventful game, if you recall.
I do.
He's been scheduled to referee us this weekend, pending any last-minute changes. Burnley have actually won 7, drawn 6 and lost 11 of his previous matches in charge. And remarkably, there have been no red cards in any of those previous 24 matches. However, the yellow card count stands at 32 to Burnley players and just 21 to our opponents. One notable match he took charge of was at Swansea City in March 2017, when he awarded us a penalty despite the ball appearing to strike the arm of Sam Vokes. This was pre-VAR, of course. It didn't affect the result, though, as Swansea won 2-1 with a late winner from Fernando Llorente. Anthony Taylor was also the referee for a previous match. If you don't like omens, look away now. That was between Burnley and Newcastle United at Turf Moor in November 2018. And on that occasion, the visitors came away with all 3 points with a 2-1 away win. The referee from our match last Saturday, that was John Brooks, he's going to be taking his turn in front of the replay cameras. He's the video assistant referee this time.
Excellent. Another penalty would be super. Thank you. Before Dave and I go ahead and start looking for what we think will happen at the weekend, we asked some of our lovely panellists on Team Known and Ever to drop us a few thoughts that they had in previewing Sunday's games. I'm going to hand over to the Known and Ever crew.
Hello, Known and Ever listeners. Tom here. I've been asked to speak to you a little bit about whether we should look to amend our style of playing, be a bit more results focused for these last 3 games. So the short answer for me is probably maybe slightly, but not so much. I think the first thing really to think about is the fact that this next game, and potentially the other two as well, a must win. We've had a good run of not losing games. I think we lost 20 maybe of the first 28, and it's only been one of the last few. Was it 20 of the first 24 even, gosh? But you take my point. Anyway, we've managed to avoid losing the majority of the last few games, but we're dropping too many points still. The big ones really are Wolves and Brighton at home. That should have been 6 points, and if we wanted to give ourselves a better chance, really, this should have been 6 points. Obviously, Wolves, we give away a non-existent free kick and then defended it badly. Brighton, well, we know what happened against Brighton. But those are points dropped, and it's left us in a situation now where if you realistically look at what Nottingham Forest have got left, we're already 2 points behind them. There's a chance they might get 2 points back on appeal. And there's also, of course, the fact that they're playing Sheffield United on Saturday, which is a game I think we have to assume they win. With all that being said, we're going to need to beat Newcastle. I don't think there's any way around that. And how are we best equipped to beat Newcastle? I think it's playing the way that we normally do. Certainly the way we've been playing in the last few games. We've created so much more in the last few games. We're not taking the chances necessarily, but as any good footballer or manager will tell you, the time to be worried is when you're not creating the chances, not when you're not putting the chances away, because you'd imagine that will come. Well, you'd hope that would come anyway. So I think that's the big thing for me. I think we have to carry on playing the way we've been playing, certainly for the first hour, 70 minutes of this game. We need to get our noses in front. And I think that's probably then when the question gets asked, you know, do we need to modify the way we play? I think you look at some of the goals we've conceded in recent weeks, the three, I suppose, that are really jumping out at me. Everton away, trying to play out from the edge of our own penalty area when there's a minute to go before half time. Brighton away, 1-0 up and cruise at Brighton home, sorry, 1-0 up and cruise in, a pass back to the goalie. Now that's, as I said at the time, that's not necessarily down to the style of play, but there's a pattern. And obviously Man United, 0-0, 10 minutes to go, you're not far away from getting a good result. All three of these goals are mistakes playing out from the back. And if we're 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go against Newcastle, or, you know, we're still in the game with 10 minutes to go, the last thing we need to do is to pass it sideways on the edge of our own penalty area and give the ball away. The last thing we need to do is put the keeper in a position where he's booting the ball clear and booting it straight to one of their players. We just need to be sensible. You know, the ball needs to go in the stand sometimes. We need to be more pragmatic in defence. We need to be more risk averse. That's going to be really important, I think. Whether we have the capacity to do that or whether Vincent Kompany would entertain the idea of doing that, I'm not sure. But to me, that's probably where the style of playing needs to be tweaked. Now, it might all become irrelevant, because if Newcastle are a good side, they're going to create chances against us. They've got Isak in brilliant form. Wilson is back as well, and he always seems to score against us. So we might need to be throwing caution to the wind in the last 10 minutes anyway. And you know, you can understand a bit of risk if you need the goals. But that would be the big thing for me in terms of tweaking the style of play, is just stop giving these stupid goals away. And especially at these crucial moments of the match, you know, all three of those goals that I mentioned there were given away, not just given away to the opposition, but given away at crucial times in the game. And there were three games that we didn't win, and three games where if we had a won, we'd be in a much better position now. So that would be the tweak to the style of play for me. It would just be kill the game, try and do what we tried to do against Luton at home. And I know, obviously, we had the late equaliser, and that's probably not related to the way we played or the way we tried to defend the lead. But the Luton game at home, we were 1-0 up at our time. We really did try and kill the game in the second half. Trafford was time wasting. It was like a Nick Pope in his prime, the amount of time wasting he was doing. I'd like to see a bit more of that from Muric. You know, just fall on the ball, just whack it on top of the Bob Lord if we've got 5 minutes to go and 1-0 up. But we haven't really got the squad to deviate too much from the way we play. We've got a manager who's, I don't think he's going to deviate too much from the way we play. And if we go down, we're going to have to go down playing the way we've been playing all season. So not too many changes. We need goals in the team. We need to keep creating chances, but let's just try and cut out the silliness. Let's just try and be a bit more pragmatic if and when the situation calls for it. Up the Clarence.
So one defeat in the last 8 games is certainly an interesting way to put a spin on a season that a lot of people had written off a long time ago. The term the Great Escape is being used quite a lot recently, so do I think we can do it? Now, anyone that knows me knows that I'm an eternal optimist when it comes to Burnley, often foolishly so. So the answer, of course, is yes. Now, that's not to say we don't have a tough running, a couple of tough games coming up, certainly starting with Newcastle on Saturday. However, in those supposed 90 minutes, with the belief and the fans behind you, anything can happen. Obviously hoping for the full 3 points, but if we take a point and we can rely on a couple of teams around us, I think we'll still be in there. Obviously, there's another big game at the weekend to impact us with regards to Sheffield and Nottingham Forest. Now, the attitude of Sheffield really depends on how they want to approach the end of the season. They're obviously already gone. Then it can go really to one of two ways. If they kind of give up, they're on the beach, you know, just wanting to recuperate and prepare for the next season. Or they come out thinking, what have we got to lose? And they give it their all. Now, for our sake and the sake of their fans, I really hope it's the second option, in that way that they can take something from Forest, hopefully a win. But again, if they manage to take a point, we keep ourselves in that melting point all the way to the end of the season. Especially if it comes down to that last game of the season, that's all you can really ask for. So come on, you Clarets, is the Great Escape on? We're yet to find out.
Hi everyone, Rich Steele here from the No Nay Never podcast. Really excited for the game tomorrow, actually. It's my first time on turf for a couple of months. That's the longest I've never been on in a season. My little girl was born exactly two months ago. So I've been given a pass because it's such a big game to go on tomorrow. So I'm very much looking forward to it. And yeah, it's a game where we go into very much, you know, on a decent run, if you shall say. One defeat in eight represents a massive upturn in form. Only two wins in that run, and I think that's where we need to turn it around. And I think we need to get that on Saturday. Obviously, with Luton play Everton on Friday night. I'm not sure if this recording is going out before or after the game, so we'll all be wanting Sean Dyche to do a job tonight. And then obviously, you'd expect Forest to beat Sheffield United tomorrow at Bramall Lane, but you just never know. But I think we do need to win this game with a tough away fixture to come against Tottenham Hotspur. I think what's really helped us in this last run, I think it's quite obvious. I think it's the return of Muric and Cullen into the side. The spine of our team looks a lot stronger. I know Muric has made a couple of mistakes in those games, which have unfortunately cost us points. But just everything about his performances make us a better team. His distribution out from the back. I know he passed the ball to Burge for a goal that he gave away against United. But overall, his distribution helps us from an attacking point of view. I think it speeds our play up rather than it being really slow at the back. And I think since Cullen's come into the team, he's really brought an assurance into the midfield with, you know, he's got his foot on the ball, you know, and he's really drove us, you know, up the pitch with the help of Burge, who I think has really helped with Cullen, actually. I think, in my opinion, Burge trusts Cullen maybe a little bit more than Brownell in the, you know, them two are forming a good relationship. So I think that's been a massive upturn in our performances. And I think the defence looks a lot more settled. I think Asignon and Estev are obviously improvements. You know, they've both got work to do defensively, but they're definitely improvements from what we've had earlier in the season. I've been critical of O'Shea. I'm probably 50-50 whether he's still this level. For me, he still makes too many mistakes to be considered a consistent Premier League defender, but he has improved and he does look better with Estev next to him. And obviously, one thing Kompany can't seem to decide on is who he plays left back. You know, I think since he's been at the club, it's quite obvious he doesn't fully trust Taylor. When you watch Taylor now, he's definitely not the player he used to be. He can't get up and down that line as effectively as he used to, and his technical ability does get shown up in our team. And obviously, on the weekend against United, Vitinho went back there. My issue with putting Vitinho back there is that he's not on the right wing, and I think he's actually been doing okay on the right wing. You know, he's not, you know, an unbelievable player, but I would prefer him on the wing than at full back. And then obviously when Vitinha goes to left back, Fofana comes into the side. Foster drops out of that number nine role where he's sometimes been playing behind Fofana, sometimes he's been playing out wide. I'm personally not too keen on Foster out wide. I know he likes to drift in, but there's been positions where he has actually been a proper wide player, squaring defenders one on one, and that's just not Foster's game. Obviously Fofana made an impact when he came in the team. He scored some good goals, but technically he's very poor. For me, he's not worthy of a place in the starting 11. I'd rather see him maybe coming off the bench if we do need a goal. So for me on Saturday, even though Taylor's not the player he was, I'd still choose him to play left back, and I'd choose Vitinho to go to right midfield. Another tactical kind of like switch Kompany has gone for is playing Odegaard through the middle. I can see why you would want this because, you know, ultimately, you know, you should have more touches being in the middle of the pitch. And, you know, he did semi-create the goal against Sheffield United for Brun Larsen. But for me, he's a little bit lightweight in the middle of midfield. Even in that number 10 role, he can get barged off the ball a little bit. So me personally, I would like, but it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you want Foster back in the team. So I think Odegaard will stay there, even though I'd quite like Odegaard to go back out wide. But I think Brun Larsen's playing well. He's a goal threat. Vitinho out wide and Foster up front for me. So I think tactically against Newcastle, they're obviously going to try and press us. So I think the game will be really dictated by that. I think if we can beat their high press, we have got a chance. But like I said, you know, we are susceptible to mistakes at the back. We've got to cut them out. We give too many too many cheap goals away And hopefully we can be a little bit more pragmatic at times and not overplay when there's clearly no options on. But what's been really good recently is we do look a goal threat. There was a time in the season where we didn't look like scoring, and we do look like scoring goals today. So I think it... Listen, Newcastle go into it in the favourites. Obviously, they've got fantastic players, but they have got some injuries. I've read that, you know, it's going to be Kraft and Byrne at centre-half who haven't played centre-half all season. So I think we can cause them a threat. So it's like I said, it's my first game back, which I'm looking forward to. I'm going to back the team and I'm going to go 2-1. But
picture the scene, all of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Burnley.
How are you feeling, Dave, about Sunday? Can the Clarets do it?
Saturday.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Why do I keep thinking? Do you know why? Because I'm going to Turf Moor on Sunday as well as Saturday. I've got a double Turf Moor week this week. So I think I'm getting that excited about the women's game, which we'll come on to later on, that I keep thinking that, and it's a bank holiday, so it's confusing me. Saturday, what's going to happen on Saturday? We know what's going to happen on Sunday. What's going to happen on Saturday, Dave?
Well, I'm trying not to sit on the fence as much as you were on the analysis show earlier in the week. If anyone's not saying that. You knew I was going to bring this up, didn't you?
I hoped you'd forgotten. Damn it.
No, we're going to have this out at this point in time. It was very interesting to listen to, and we got towards the end, and I was quite impressed because within the space of 60 seconds, you predicted Burnley to stay up and win the championship next season, both in the same 60 seconds, which is quite... I mean, hosts are supposed to be balanced, aren't they? But that's perhaps going a bit too far.
Yeah. I mean, hosts are supposed to be balanced, and I think most of the time I am. I also do too many things at the same time, and I multitask to the extreme, and I sometimes lose my marbles. So I think whichever one of those you want to pick, Dave, I think probably the latter. But yeah, I genuinely didn't realise I'd done this until you posted the soundbites in our thread, and I knew that this was going to come back to bite me. Yes, anyway, Dave, which one are we going to be doing on Sunday? Are we going to be winning the championship next year, or are we going to be staying up in the Premier League? No, seriously, all joking aside, what do you think Burnley need to do to get something out of the game? I guess that's my question to start with.
I think we need to carry on playing the way we have. I mean, there's been a lot... We had difficulties early in the season. You know, we've talked about that quite a lot on the podcast. On the previous show and the analysis show. We've come into a little bit of form recently, the last 7 or 8 games. We obviously had the defeat against Everton. We've had quite a few draws in there. We perhaps haven't won as many games as we would have liked, but there seems to be a little bit more grit and determination about the side now. There are still the odd errors thrown in there. We had another one again, the stray pass from Sander Bergeron, who's been so good this season, but we had that straight pass that gave United their lead on Saturday. We've had one or two ricks from Muric, who's done so well in goal, but has had those moments that we know he's capable of having. But by and large, Burnley have been a lot more resilient. We seem like a team that belongs in the Premier League now, but you just wonder whether it is a little bit too late. I mean, if we'd had another couple of wins under our belt, then things would have been a little bit different. Even, we'd go back a hark on about decisions, particularly the match against Luton, the late equaliser for them that was allowed that shouldn't have been. And obviously our goal at Forest that wasn't as well. Two sides around us. If those two decisions were very different, then the table would now look very different. But we are where we are. And I think that we've given ourselves a little bit of a fighting chance. It's still, we've got to be realistic. It is still, I mean, you talked about the odds on the last podcast. It's about 13% now for Burnley to stay up. It's more likely we will go down than stay up, but there is that chance. All we can do is go to the next game, carry on playing the way we have, and hopefully, I think that hopefully that home form is going to come back a little bit. We have had form at home. We haven't had perhaps the results that those performances have always merited. Perhaps Saturday will be the time to turn it around and get the 3 points that we so desperately want.
Yeah, I think the worry for me is that it's all good and well just sticking with what we're doing, but Newcastle, as we heard this evening, are very fast on the attack. They press very, very high. I do worry about our young and inexperienced defence being able to cope with some of those attacking threats. And I think we're going to have to rely on trying to press high ourselves. And I just... Do you not feel that this has got a feel of it being a 0-0 or a 5-0 defeat, Dave? It kind of feels that it could be. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it feels like it's going to be one extreme to the other.
I disagree with you on the second one. I don't think we look like a side that's going to get tonked 4 or 5-0. I don't think that's we've not seen anything like that in the last matches.
I'm taking that as gospel. I'm taking that as gospel, by the way, just FYI. Dave says we won't concede 5, so it can't happen. But yeah.
But I think that we're giving ourselves chances in games now. I mean, and even when we go behind, we are showing resilience to come back as well. Obviously, we had the one at West Ham where we went 2 goals up and then we conceded twice. They obviously had a strong second half. We got a point from that game. I think we may struggle again if we go behind earlier on. I think that's perhaps going to be tricky. But I think if we can get our nose in front, we look like a side perhaps now who are learning a little bit as we go along. There's a little bit more nous about us when we take leads in games. So I think it's a developing team. We know that it's quite a young side. And development happens throughout a season. You just worry that, is it a little bit too late? Hopefully there is still the chance in the last 3 games to do something about it and get ourselves out, which, as you say, would be a great escape if we were able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Score prediction then, please, Dave.
Well, I'd like to predict a win. I fear it might be a draw. I fear it might be a 1-1 draw, but I'm going to err on my positive side and say Burnley going to get a 2-1 win.
Ooh, I like this. Where are we heading next then? Where are we heading next? I think that's it, isn't it? The preview? Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. I was just trying to think if there's anything else that we needed to cover in terms of a match result. Actually, I need to give you my score prediction. I'm going to say 3-1. I've said this on pretty much every single podcast that I've done this week. I predict a 3-1 win to Burnley, so I'm going to stick with that. Listeners, do drop us a line and let us know what you think your score prediction will be. And let's move on to everyone's favourite feature, and that is we rating our opposition celebrity fans. Dave, who has made the shortlist this week, please?
Well, yeah, as usual, we've got 6 hand-picked celebrities who are supposedly fans of Newcastle United. I'll let you pick. Actually, I lied. There's 7 this time, because the first one, it's 2 for the price of 1 again. We've got TV presenting duo Ant McPartlin and Declan Donnelly, better known as Ant and Dec. They were both born in Newcastle in 1975 and are both aged 48. They met in 1990 when they starred on the CBBC drama Biker Grove. And after a brief dalliance with the music charts under the names PJ and Duncan, that was their Biker Grove character names, they went into presenting Saturday morning children's TV before moving on to primetime shows such as Saturday Night Takeaway, I'm a Celebrity, and Britain's Got Talent, among others. If nothing else, they have certainly proved that it's possible to make the smallest amount of talent go a very long way. Next up, it's actor and singer James Michael Aloysius Bradford. He was born in Newcastle in 1954, better known by his stage name, perhaps, Jimmy Nail.
He's now
70, would you believe? Age 70, Jimmy Nail now. Better known for his breakthrough role. Yeah. Better known for his breakthrough role of Oz in Auf Wiedersehen, Pet. That ran for 2 series in the mid-1980s before being brought back for another two series early in the millennium. In between, Jimmy Nail had a pop career, hitting number one in the UK charts with his single Ain't No Doubt in 1992, but he also had seven solo studio albums, two of which reached number two, and he also starred and sang in the international hit film Evita in 1996. There's another singer.
That's a great movie, four. By the way. That is a great movie.
I've never seen it, actually.
I'm not sure it's your cup of tea, Dave. I'm just going to leave that there and move on to the next celebrity.
We've got another singer at number three. It's that, like we planned this, isn't it? Gordon Sumner, age 72, is better known as Sting. He's the lead singer of the band The Police in the late 1970s and 1980s, followed by a long and successful solo career. He was born in Wall's End in North Tyneside, and before he left the area in 1977, he used to go and watch United, including their Fairs Cup run of 1969. Their former captain, Bobby Moncur, is his football hero. Next is a 40-year-old singer and TV personality who leapt to fame on the reality music show Pop Stars The Rivals in 2002, when she became a member of Girls Aloud. Cheryl Tweedy, as she was known then, married, then divorced Chelsea footballer Ashley Cole, and used his surname for a while, but prefers to use just her first name now. As well as having massive success as a singer in the UK and around the world, she later features a judge on a number of Simon Cowell's TV ventures, including The X Factor. Her family are all from Newcastle. They're all Newcastle United fans. And she even said she would have liked to have bought the club if only she could afford it. Guaranteed to divide opinion are our final two selections, who are both politicians. Quite apt as we're recording this on local election day.
We are indeed.
Firstly, in the blue corner is current Conservative MP for West Suffolk and former Health Minister Matt Hancock, age 46. Now then, you might wonder why someone who was born and raised in Cheshire and was educated at Oxford and Cambridge universities would be a magpie. But it's apparently because of his uncle Dave. He was a Geordie and always used to take young Matt to the match at Christmas. Despite some very strong criticism of how he handled the COVID pandemic and his subsequent ministerial resignation for an affair which broke his own regulations, he did give away his pride and joy, a signed Newcastle United shirt for a charity auction for the NHS in 2021. However, he was pictured wearing the same shirt again 2 years later, in 2023, although he explained this by claiming that the man who bought it in the charity auction had gifted it back to him. Okay. And finally, for balance, in the red corner is the former Labour MP for Sedgefield, and long-serving Prime Minister Tony Blair, now age 70. He became party leader in 1994. That was after the death of John Smith, and swept to power, defeating John Major in a landslide election victory in 1997, before serving as PM for 2.5 terms until 2007. Despite being born in Scotland and then spending a few years over in Australia, his family moved to Durham when he was five. Famously, one of Alistair Campbell's photo ops for his boss was exchanging headers with Kevin Keegan, United legend, of course. This was in 1995. Presumably, it was intended to try and establish the leader of the opposition as a man of the people. Did it work? Well, he won the 1997 election, but we'll see how all of these selections have affected our scores this week.
Indeed. Well, how did Team None and Ever take them, Dave, when you put it to poll?
I think we got quite as it was perhaps not as polarised as last week's. We did have everything from probably a 3 up to a 7, did we? Something like that, I think.
Okay. I was tempted to give them a 0 for the two final ones in their ones for those two politicians. But you know what? We try and avoid politics on the None and Ever podcast. We're a football show. We are not politicians. Dave, I'm going to hand it over to you this week. I'm going to let you moderate it because I'm biased because there's a couple in there that I don't like. I do like Cheryl Cole, though. But you and Jimmy Nail was amazing in Evita. That would make an excellent podcast and YouTube show. Dave watches it. Statman Dave watches Evita.
They do these reaction videos, don't they? To make what?
I might do a reaction video to you watching Evita.
I don't think anyone would watch that, would they, really?
It's an amazing movie. What are you talking about?
No, I mean watching me watching the movie.
I would watch it, Dave. I would watch it. I watch everything you do. Anyway, move on. Give me a score. What are you giving these Newcastle celebrity fans?
I'm going to give them a generous 4.
Excellent. I like the fact that you're at that end of the table. Brilliant stuff. Right, let's move on then. Wrapping up this week's previous show, community news. What have we got to leave our listeners with, please?
Quite a lot to get through this week. For Saturday's match, I've compiled another Heritage match brochure that takes a look at past meetings between Burnley and Newcastle United, as well as sharing the details of that on social media. I've posted it and it's been shared by the No Name Ever account as well. We're going to include a link in the podcast show notes so anyone can take a look at that as well. You can also view it at the Claret's Collected drop-in session that takes place in the basement of Burnley Central Library. That's ahead of kickoff this Saturday. They're open between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturday. Go along and see what Burnley-related books, programmes and other memorabilia are available, along with the BFC and Me photo exhibition, which was launched a couple of weeks ago, as well as having a free tea or coffee and say hi to the organisers. We've also got a quick mention for the 5 Tour de Vinny cyclists who've been cycling from Anderlecht to Turf Moor this week to raise money for 3 very worthy causes. They are Andy's Man Club, the Barry Kilby Prostate Cancer Appeal, and also BX Brussels, which is Vincent Kompany's charity in Belgium. For those wondering, they did get a bit of help from the ferry from Rotterdam to Hull, but if you'd like to support them with a donation, then search GoFundMe for Tour de Vinny.
And then finally, just a quick one on that one. Long-term listeners will remember when the OGs were around. James Bird, my previous co-host of this podcast, is one of the 5 cyclists. He has been sending me messages this week from Belgium with lots of pints of beer and not much cycling. So, hey, listen, who am I to judge? But yeah, regular listeners will remember Birdie fondly. And who can forget the very famous None and Ever podcast episode where Birdie was being chased on said bicycle down the street by a random dog, which is one of the all-time classics of the None and Ever podcast from back in the day. So you'll be pleased to know he hasn't been deterred from said cycle and he is on his way to Turf Moor. So yes, sorry, carry on, Dave. Last bit of community news. I just wanted to mention that.
I was going to say it's a shame we weren't on YouTube in those days because that would have been...
That would have just been amazing. I mean, the audio itself still to this day makes me howl laughing. I remember it clear as day, that episode, and I cry laughing now when I remember it. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
On to Fantasy Premier League news. There's a very quick turnaround in the FPL this time following the last match of Game Week 35 on Thursday between Chelsea and Spurs. Luton Town, as we mentioned, host Everton for Friday night football as it returns for the Premier League this weekend. That's the first match of game week 36. That means the deadline, as it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, will be 6:30 p.m. on Friday. So you'd have to be quick with your changes. Good luck to everyone who's playing along in the No Near Never League this season. And may all your arrows be green this weekend. Who knows? If results go Burnley's way, we may actually have a green arrow of our own to celebrate.
That would be nice. Final one for me then, please. Listeners, do not forget that Burnley FC Women will be playing their final game of this season at Turf Moor this coming Sunday, taking on Derby. It promises to be a cracking game. Over 2,500 fans turned up for the Feds game. If you're in Burnley this weekend anyway and fancy a double dose of Turf Moor action, please do go along to support our women. We have got big designs to get into the championship, the women's championship, as soon as possible, and getting the crowd behind them and playing at Turf Moor and attracting footballers who want to play their football at big stadiums is a big stepping stone to making that happen. So please do come along if you can. I believe that's everything we've got time for, is it? Is there nothing else, is there, Dave?
We've crammed a lot.
We certainly have. Well, thank you to everybody who has contributed to making this preview show possible. To, of course, my host, Statman Dave, who puts in a phenomenal amount of time and effort into making this preview show possible. Do please check out his page for all of his stats and his new heritage brochure, just because there's amazing content there for free. So do please check those out. To our good friend of the show, Sam Darling from True Faith Podcast, for his opposition view. To all the panelists who sent through their opinions ahead of the show, and to you, the listeners, for downloading and listening to this episode. Your support is very much appreciated, and we would not be here without you. Please do comment if you are watching this on YouTube. Please do leave a comment, like, subscribe. If you're listening to this on by podcast, please do subscribe and leave us a rating, please, on iTunes. Really does help to make our channel grow and attracts sponsorships that we can get things bigger and better and carry on giving you your Claret's content. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the preview show brought to you by the Known and Ever podcast. Until next time. The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonenever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.